Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. But it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome, our friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul. It is 4 April 2022. Welcome to tonight's broadcast. We're glad you're with us. We're going to bring a very special guest in a few minutes that hasn't been on for a while, but he's been a friend of the ministry and myself for a long time. We're going to talk to Jonathan Alexander with the Liberty Council, but don't y'all go away. God, I'll share with that. Before I do that, two announcements, please. One's a prayer request for Jeff in Canada. Jeff is going to have surgery this coming Thursday. And I told him I'd mention in prayer. I won't get into all detail, but y'all just remember Jeff in Canada is going to have surgery. And ask the Lord to please guide the surgeon's hand to take care of his situation and get him well quickly. Also, the news magazine we sent out this for April bounced back from a lot of listeners. I don't know why. But I know, just for example, Jan in Iowa and Mick in New Mexico are a couple of the ones that bounced back. We could not get the newsletter to go through. So y'all that did not receive the magazine, if you didn't receive the Minuteman magazine for April, please email me. So I can get you put back on the list. It bounced back twice. So if, please, all y'all, Jan, Mick, and all of you that didn't get it, I know you're expecting it, please email me and tell me, hey, what's going on? This is the right address, and we'll get it up to you as soon as possible, okay? So just remember that, please. They bounced back, and I couldn't do a thing about it. It's just one of those things, folks. Sometimes even the best technology messes up. Ha ha, it messes up all the time. But I'm going to get right into the program tonight. And don't forget, now, folks, if you have any questions or call us, I'm not going to mention anything special this week, nothing going on extra special, but you know what we have here at the ministry, folks. Buy me a toothpaste, mouthwash. We have the Strauss products. We have Cardivite. We have some REM sleep left. All this available here, folks, if you want to call and talk to us at 800-777-4403, 800-777-4403, or 304-846-4448. If you can call long distance, folks, that'll save us quite a bit of money every month. 304-846-4448 to call and talk to Lisa, tell us what you may need, or if you need to talk to me, let Lisa know, she'll find me, and I will call you back, I promise. I'm not unreachable. Sometimes I stay a little busy, folks, but I'm not unreachable by any means. Now, as I said, our guest tonight is Jonathan Alexander. I met Jonathan once. He came down to a little fellowship and shared with us and had a great time with him and his pretty half, and shared a lot of things back and forth. But when he told me that he became a lawyer in Massachusetts because his dad was a preacher and knew one day his dad was going to get in trouble for preaching the Bible, he became a lawyer to defend his dad. Well, needless to say, he met a lot of dads in his career now. He's been helping a lot of people fight a lot of reasons on Christian stands and principles. And I want to welcome tonight our guest and my friend, Jonathan Alexander. Jonathan, welcome.
Thank you so much, Pastor Butch. Thanks for having me. It's been a while.
Well, it has been a while. You're our man pinned down.
I know. It's when we're not putting out fires, we're starting our own. So it's been a very busy time.
I don't know how you keep up with all this, because I know your load's got to be increasing every day. This world in America is going in, is more insane every day. And, of course, Deuteronomy 28:28, he said, I'll smite with madness, insanity, and that's what's happened to America. We are actually insane with all manner of things that we couldn't have believed would have been an issue even 10 years ago. And now they're cropping up to be something really, really, I don't know what word to use. It's full of nonsense, complete evil turning around to be good, just Isaiah 5:20 says. But so tell us a little bit, Jonathan, about who you are and what you all do, and some of the things you're facing up to right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you mentioned, I mean, evil, you know, the Bible always warns us of evil. It's very clear about the forces of darkness. But, you know, there was a time in our country where that was hidden to the recesses of, you know, private, you know, basements and then homes.
Yes, yes, yes.
Weren't out there and apparent about their evil. But now it's coming from the top of government and all across and every sector of society. It seems that there's such a stronghold that the devil is attempting to have in terms of our, you know, our faith, our values. He's reversing all the course that we've had for almost the entirety of this country and replacing it with his evils and with his lies. So it's in that venue, really, that we wage the war, that we fight back against it. Of course, America in its founding principles has religious liberty as its preeminent principle. And we understand that all of our freedoms, every right and every duty that comes from those articulated rights come because of our first duty to God, to worship God. And enshrined in our Constitution is the recognition that we ought to protect that. And so anytime that's challenged, anytime there's an attack against religious liberty, against the believer's ability to believe a certain way in their heart and go out in the public square and express that faith, that's exactly the work that we do. So we do litigation work. We're in the courtrooms. We are in the halls of Congress. We're in state houses all across the country. We're fighting for the rights of Americans and Christians to believe firmly the gospel, but also to be able to preach that and share that and live that out in the public square.
Well, tell me something, Jonathan. How much busier over the last 4 or 5 years would you say it's gotten?
Well, you can imagine. So we've always been busy. Unfortunately, the past, I would say, 10 years that I've been in the war, 30 years that our firm has been in existence, we've always been busy, but there's been an uptick and a change of the terrain that we've had to fight on. Where before, you know, very early on, some of these cases had to do with Ten Commandments, whether or not we could refer to the moral law of Moses, even in our courtrooms, you know, have the Ten Commandments placed outside of courthouses, or nativities, you know, representing the Christmas story and having that shown in front of our state houses and courthouses. That was really the first sort of unraveling, of first attacks against religion. Of course, the removal from Bibles from the school. We saw a lot of cases like that, and more effective in fighting and pushing back against it. But then, as you mentioned, in the past 4 or 5 years, there's been a torrent or an onslaught of cases where it's not religious liberty on its own. So where before it would be, let's get rid of religion, let's get rid of religious liberty, now in the past 4 or 5 years, it's let's place other things as equal to religion or other things as equal to God. So they're not just tearing down religion, they're erecting religion in its place, their own religion in its place. And, of course, it's the religion of the LGBT agenda. It's the over-sexualization that they're attempting to do to kids in school. They're not just tearing down the protected rights of religion, but they're erecting their own idols. And so, yes, in the past 4 or 5 years, our fight has intensified. And then, of course, it all met ahead about 2 years ago, when, for the first time, I think, in American history, they arrested a pastor for holding church because he was in violation of COVID protocols. And so the past 2 years, we've been very active in that space as well, ensuring the church's ability to continue meeting. And I know I'm stretching here, but there have been so much recently with the COVID vaccinations, this requirement that in order to go about your daily life, the requirement that in order to keep your employment or to go to school, that you are forced to take a shot, even if you disagree with. So you can see the progression, how replacing religion or ignoring religion is now replaced with complete culture changing of rules and now them criminalizing the very ability for individuals to hold on to those religious convictions.
And, you know, Brother Jonathan, I mean, it's bad enough that's happening here, but it's even worse in other countries. I mean, look at Canada. A personal right. friend of mine that I mean, never met personally, Pastor Arthur Pulaski, just got out of prison a couple of days ago, 51 days in jail, mostly in solitary confinement, because he broke his agreement with the court, I guess. He spoke to a group of the freedom fighters in the convoy, right. and that was against his agreement with the state or with the province. They put him back and put him in jail, and really this was a terrible time. There's an interview that you can go to, listen to an interview you did with a guy with Rebel News out of Canada. So it's worldwide. It's not just here. But, you know, and I mean this sincerely. I really hate this for Canada. I truly do. But I live here, and I want to help those in Canada. But we also have to preserve our liberties here, what's left of them. And I see every day more and more nonsense being held up as something justified and right, when we know just common sense and morality itself teaches that it's wrong. Now, I mean, that's what's happened, is it not?
Yeah, and it's, as you mentioned, it's a worldview that is impacting the entire world. You know, a worldview of understanding that, yes, there is a God, and that he created certain things, and there is an order to nature. Not only is that, you know, a worldview that you do have to attest to, right? So you have to buy into it and believe it, and that's an active step. But there's also a passive recognition of nature that is, as you mentioned, very common sense. It's very common to understand the biological differences between male and female. It's very common to understand that if you just left a baby alone in the womb, that it would be born, and it's a life that's in there. These very common things that aren't even things that you know, have to acquiesce to or even have to believe, as it were. It's just what you're watching around you. These very common sense items that could unite an entire world, and certainly united an entire culture in the United States. Those things, not only are we taking them for granted now, but they are directly being attacked, where our sense isn't common anymore. We're not sharing the very basic biological norms, not to mention the values that our country is based on.
You know, when you have a Supreme Court nominee, Jackson, I think it's your name, I don't care whether she's black, white, pink, or purple. When she said you can't tell man from woman because she's not a biologist and she wants to be on the Supreme Court, I think there's something very wrong with that picture. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. And it's insidious, right? She knows what a woman is. And why does she know she's a woman? One, because she was nominated to be the first black woman. Two, because 14 times during her testimony, she mentioned a woman. She mentioned her mother, who's her favorite woman, naturally. She's raising a daughter, ostensibly, to be a woman. Her husband is a medical doctor. He wouldn't be able to pass medical school, much less fifth grade biology, if he couldn't explain what a woman was. And so she knows very clearly what a woman is. What she is tied down to and handcuffed to this progressive transgender LGBT ideology that tries to do away with biological sex, tries to remove gender as being attached to biological reality. And if she were to dare venture an answer that she actually does believe, because she mentioned a woman several times, if she were to dare venture that answer, she would lose the approval of not only the president that has appointed her, but the entire left-wing agenda that is really pushing her forward. And the reason they're pushing her forward is because she is a radical candidate. And I'm even shocked at individuals from the Republican Party, of course, Mitt Romney, no surprise there, but individuals from the Republican Party that said, well, you know, she's more centrist, she's going to be middle of the road. No, she is a radical. The reason they put her forward is because she's a radical. She's going to be pushing Biden's agenda and the radical left's agenda with full steam ahead. And if she were to answer something as straightforward as who a woman was, she would lose their approval. That's why she stammers and stutters and doesn't provide a very basic answer.
Well, how can anyone say someone who can't tell a woman from a man without being a biologist is a centrist? I mean, how can they even think
right.
that? I mean, that is so absurd. That's beyond absurd. That's completely stupid. I mean, how can they even think that?
Yeah, it's shocking to know why, you know, individual senators that do have the ability to take a stand. There have been several Supreme Court nominees that haven't made it through the confirmation process if they can't, you know, respond to basic things, or if they can't have a common understanding of the law, if they can't, you know, restate the common elements of the law. So to just give her a pass because of her race or because of her biological sex as being a female, in order to make history and have the first black woman on the court, it's so not sincere to the role that senators are placed to have. You know, to the point about her not being able to name or not wanting to name what a woman is, there are anti-discrimination cases that will come before her. Say a woman gets fired from her work, as happens sometimes in employment law, simply because she's a woman, and she brings a case against her boss. You have to determine that this individual was fired and that she was a woman just to bring that case forward. So there's an entire area of law that she ostensibly would not be able to determine or make a ruling on or decide on because she can't even decide whether or not the plaintiff is part of that class. So it's such a shame that when the opportunity has been presented to us time and time again, we cave to the LGBT agenda, we cave to the left agenda in fear that, you know, they'll come after us or that we have to curry favor with them. But when they have the opportunity to put forward some of these radical, radical candidates, we don't stand in their way.
That is amazing. You've made a very good point there. How could she rule in a case of a man or a woman if she can't tell them apart? Oh,
right.
That's unbelievable. Unbelievable. And you know, you told us the first time I met you, we met at Phil Hudlock's house in his little studio in his home. You mentioned that you become a lawyer to defend your daddy. Now, your daddy's in Massachusetts, right?
Yeah, so he pastors a church up in Boston, Massachusetts.
By the way, I'd like to talk to him sometime. I really would. If you ever get a chance to connect with him, I'd love to talk to him. I really, truly would.
Yeah,
I'd like to shake his hand over the phone and thank him for raising a son that had some backbone.
We praise God for him.
But yeah, I would love to talk to him one time. If you don't mind mentioning me to him, I'd appreciate it. But you did that. You went to law school to defend your dad because you saw these problems coming. How long ago has that been?
So I graduated from law school about 8 years ago, but, you know, and I've shared this story with you, Pastor, but I was 7 years old when, you know, I really started to understand the persecuted church. And this is, of course, Paul being persecuted and the saints being martyred for the faith and all the records that we have in Acts and all of Paul's struggles. And for some reason, and of course you and I know now, it's the Holy Spirit, was able to make that image very real to me, that the preaching of the gospel came with a cost. And if you were in the right setting, Paul being a Roman citizen, there was some appeal that you could make. You know, you could appeal to Caesar, you could exercise your citizen's rights, and at least get a hearing in court for some reason. And of course, we know it's the Holy Spirit laid it on my heart that, hey, that my dad's doing the same thing. He's preaching the gospel. I know there are people that don't like what he's saying because he's preaching the whole council and he's going on offending the, you know, weak sensibilities of people that are living in sin. People don't like him and they may find a way to throw him in jail, and he's going to need a lawyer. He's going to need someone to stand up beside him. And at that young, tender age of 7, I think that's when the Lord placed on my heart. Of course, it was a long journey from then till now. But that's when you really birthed in me this idea that, yeah, I could be a lawyer and stand next to my dad and defend him. You know, God has been gracious in taking my life through all the journeys that were necessary, all the paths that were necessary to bring me to a point where I could work for a firm that is right in the center of these religious liberty fights, work for a boss who used to be a pastor that understands the fight of the gospel, and work with folks like you, folks that aren't willing to yield one more inch to the devil and his agents and the way that they are trying to tear down our society through their evil edicts.
Well, thankfully, your daddy hasn't had to have your services too much, has he?
So he has. You know, my dad has, he's bold in the way that he speaks. When Massachusetts, who was the first state to put forward the LGBT agenda and have that come into law through judicial fiat, there were several laws that came with it. And the bathroom bill, you know, this whole transgender dust up, it came up as early as it could in Massachusetts. And so my father would speak out against it. He would stand out against it. He went down to Beacon Hill, the state capital in Massachusetts, and he was one of our lead witnesses testifying against the bill. the state later decided to try to make churches be public accommodation. So saying, hey, state, yes, not only are we going to pass this law, but it's going to apply to you directly. And, of course, my father was one of the pastors that stood against that, ultimately pushing back against the state's attorney general, having them take that down. In another instance, the Commonwealth of Massachusetts has a citizens initiative, so it's the ability for citizens to place something on the ballot, but you need a number of original signatories to get that ballot question so that the citizens can actually vote on it. And it was another LGBT issue, and my parents, both my mom and my dad, were the first names on that ballot, and that's, you know, for history here on out in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, the first successful ballot initiative on the LGBT issue. And I think the Commonwealth's 400-year history have both my parents' names as the original signers of that ballot. So I have had to help him out. I've had to, in one way, drag him into the fight and then help him navigate it. But, you know, it's God's work. You know, the work that pastors do behind the pulpit is God's work. The work that we hopefully try to do in courts and in the legislature, that's God's work as well. And so it's the same fight, just happens to be on a different terrain.
Absolutely. It is God's work, and it's his business. And we know that, and it's his business to call some direction we should go. But I still have to mark your daddy for taking the stand he has, especially in a state like Massachusetts. I mean, that is probably one of the most enslaved states in the country when it comes to moral issues any longer. But I do want to get to a case that we covered quite a bit back in 2015 when the Supreme Court passed a law. Yes, folks, the Supreme Court passed a law that homosexuals could get married, and the states would have no choice but to honor their marriages. Now, that was actually happened in the Supreme Court. They can't make law, but they have often quite done that, because the people in America either don't know they can't or just don't care if they do. We're going to talk about Kim Davis. This lady was arrested, put in jail, because she wouldn't issue a marriage license to two people who call themselves men. I don't know what you want to call them, but I know what the Bible calls them. But so she got in trouble for that. And I'll let that cover a little bit with that case, if you don't mind, Jonathan. What's happened since she was arrested? We know she got out. We know that the Kentucky legislature all voted to support her. But what's happened with the case?
I think it's very important to start there. Not only was she thrown in jail, but upon her release, within just a few days, weeks, and months of us fighting on her behalf, she was granted a total victory. So this victory meant that she no longer had to place her name on licenses with which she disagreed. And the legislature supported her completely. The governor supported her. And Kim Davis continued to be a believer and continued to live out her faith in her particular practice. Well, there were two individuals that decided to sue her. They said that, and this is under civil law now, they said that Kim Davis denied her a right, that there was a substantial right that they were denied because she effectively didn't sign their marriage licenses. And at the time, and even now, you look at something like that and you're like, no, you know, the entire legislature vindicated her. The actual lawmakers said that she didn't have to do that. She wasn't forced to do that. The one responsible to execute this, the governor, said that she didn't have to do that. And it's not a far cry. All they had to pull back was into Commonwealth of Kentucky statutes that do recognize religious convictions on certain issues. They, of course, fell back on the United States Constitution and its First Amendment that allows someone to openly, freely exercise their faith. But nevertheless, the Sixth Circuit, and this is a lower court in the Sixth Circuit, has decided that these individuals that didn't get their marriage license signed from Kim Davis, that they were they're allowed to move forward in the case. We filed a summary judgment motion, you know, effectively telling the court, no, look at all the evidence that's presented, including the law. You have to throw this case out. There is no more bullying necessary to be done against Kim Davis. She's fully vindicated. But just in recent days, the court has decided to extend that.
A quick question, yeah. Very quick, Jonathan. How can they do that? How can they do that? I mean, the state is supposed to be the sovereign over anything, federal, anything else. When the state makes a pass a law, the federal has no authority there. But how can they do that?
Right, and there's a law on point, as you mentioned. The state has a law on point where they've specifically addressed it. And I think ultimately, since the federal government hasn't occupied that space, they cannot occupy that entire space when it comes to determining one's constitutional rights or their rights of religious freedom, especially if the state has a statute on point. I think ultimately it'll go in our favor, and that'll be the continuing arguments that we'll make against this idea that the other side's going to make, that they did, they denied her a fundamental right. There are many instances where an individual in power, because of their religious convictions, do not have to perform or acquiesce to a host of things. They don't have to participate in a host of activities, giving licenses to individuals that are hunting or fishing if they disagree with that practice. It is in that same vein, but stronger so, that Kim Davis has a conviction against signing same-sex marriage licenses. And this isn't all just say, right? This isn't all just, hope, wishful thinking. This is actually what the legislature said. The legislature had the opportunity to review this, and they determined that this is a law that needs to apply to situations like this. And so they passed that law, and the governor signed it into law. So that's how we'll continue to argue it. We'll continue to stand up for Kim Davis's rights. Of course, this being 7 years down the road now, yes. It is a bullying tactic that they're doing just to keep punishing individuals of faith like Kim Davis.
Well, but isn't it, you already know this, isn't it a little bit ridiculous to have to appeal this when it's already been settled, completely settled? Why would the courts need to hear it again? What is their argument that says they have a right to hear it again?
And it's the tenor of what the Sixth Circuit is. It's hard to know why a judge will ultimately let that go forward. And so they haven't ruled on the merits yet. At least what they're doing, if you can give them any sort of defense, at least what they're doing is saying, we'll just take a look at it. We'll just take a closer look at it. It's clear for us, right, that Kim Davis, she's entitled to an accommodation based on her sincerely held religious beliefs. It will effectively move its way up the system, and hopefully it'll reach its end at the Supreme Court. And we've seen this before in recent cases that we've taken to the Supreme Court. There may be a back and forth at these lower level courts where you have a rogue judge making an awful decision, even if you have a panel of judges making a pretty bad decision that goes against the law. Thankfully we still, as it were, has a Supreme Court that is sympathetic and understanding of our Constitution such that they'd apply the law effectively in this way. So even if these rogue judges get it wrong at these early stages, we'll continue fighting all the way up to the Supreme Court.
All right, I got some more questions about that, folks. Don't go away. If you have any questions, comments, or Jonathan, give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. 844-769-2944. 844-769-2944. You have to admire a man that went to school to be a lawyer to defend his own daddy. You have to admire that very much. Back at the break.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
5 years ago, I had such chronic back pain that at one point I bought 3 mattresses within an 18-month period, hoping to relieve my lower back pain. I was only 40, and I hiked daily along with eating a fairly healthy diet. I was not overweight and didn't really have a reason for my back pain. As soon as I started using 3 sprays of Synergy One each morning, the pain immediately went away, and I've never had it again. I also use Synergy One before bed for a better night's sleep. Whenever my mom has back pain, I remind her to use Synergy One. Sure enough, she's all better after using it. I've probably given over 10 bottles away to friends with back pain. I take it when I travel and never miss a day.
Raising growth hormone levels to a more youthful level consistently results in deeper sleep, better energy and mood, fat loss, and the elimination of pain through the repair of injuries. Synergy One is guaranteed to improve the health of your body or your money back. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit synergisticuniverse.com.
Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling the Manna Foods, the best in store foods bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSGs. Give the Manna a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775. Or go to namana.com. Mention the Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Are you paying an arm and a leg for a healthy alternative lifestyle? Are you tired of products not meeting your expectations? Is it becoming harder for you to have faith in restoring your body to the temple it began as? I know your struggle is real, and I'd be honored to help you and those you care about feel better and thrive. With organic ingredients and no fillers made right here in our own country, many of which are wild-crafted right here in the mountains of Montana, we at Superior Mountain Herbs are blessed to be able to get you the best herbal products with no hassles or misleading information. Truth and transparency is what you get with us. For a free list of products available to hear this month's special as well, please call Summer at 406-274-7579 or email me at green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com. That's green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is a war.
All right, folks, we're back here talking to Jonathan Alexander tonight. And if you want to call and ask any questions or make any comments to Jonathan, please do. 844-769-2944. 844-769-2944. We'd love to hear from you, and I mean that. I mean, I know Jonathan would also. Before I ask you more questions, Jonathan, tell us how people can support you and the group that you work with.
Yeah, certainly. So our website is lc.org, LC standing for Liberty Council.org. And I just encourage folks to go through the website and read our press releases. We keep up-to-date information on all of our cases, all of our clients, their stories are featured, all the cases that we're fighting currently on behalf of members of the military, the case that we have in front of the Supreme Court, the Camp Constitution. All those details you can find, and just be encouraged by that. The best support is by prayer. I think you asked early on in the show how we get the energy to do this and how we get really the motivation to do all this. And it's the calling and also the fuel of prayer that continues to motivate us. Our energy comes from the Holy Spirit, and anytime Christians can make petitions on our behalf, in order to reinvigorate us, it really helps. So LC.org is the best landing page. You'll get all our information. And just be encouraged and inspired that there are folks willing to take the fight for you.
LC.org, folks, that stands for Liberty Council. LC.org. Check it out. I support them now for quite a while. Now, if I were me and Eric, they'd get a lot more money than they do for me. But I do support them because I believe in what they're doing. And God forbid, one day I might need Jonathan's services. And I know if I did, he'd be there. I hope I don't.
Yeah.
But I can see coming to that, Jonathan. I'm getting to be an old man now. I'm not a young man anymore. I don't want to think what the next generation, the next 30 years, going to see. I won't be here, quite probably. But I just can't imagine what it's going to be like 15, 20 years, 30 years down the road with what it is right now. Now, we were talking about, before we went to break, we were talking about Kim Davis. And although she was totally vindicated by the governor and the state and by law, they still won't turn her loose in court. And one thing that's always concerned me is, how do people like her, I know she's not wealthy, afford to keep this going? I know it's because the folks like you are helping, obviously, pro bono, so to speak, trying to help this case get going. But this has got to be wearing on her, does it not?
Oh, it absolutely wears on her. Kim Davis is a grandmother. This is not the time in her life where she ought to have an open attack or a legal dispute coming after her. All she did was stand for her faith, stand for her religious convictions. And of course, because of the help of individuals listening to the program, we're able to provide our service to her pro bono. But it's a bullying tactic of the left to go after, the clerks, or go after folks like Jack Phillips who are running their private businesses. They're funded to the tens and hundreds of millions of dollars are poured into these cases, poured into these organizations that decide to cherry pick and find Christians that are living out their life and attempting to attack them. And it's not until these individuals are victorious that they're able to, have some financial reward or some financial reprieve. But by that time, especially in Kim Davis's case, she's gone through 7 years of this ordeal where anytime her name is mentioned, anytime I'm sure she hands her credit card to a store clerk or, she walks into a public place, people recognize her. And depending on how they fall on this issue, either recognize the bold stand that she took or vilify her. And she'll have to live this way for as long as this keeps going. And it's the tactic of the left to continue to compound these false charges against her, to bully her and to hold her in that corner, and to thwart Christians who otherwise would want to take that stand, tell them that this is what we'll do to you if you decide to believe the same way that Kim Davis does.
Amen. And even when she wins, and I think she will, I can't imagine there'd be any way that she couldn't win. But even when she wins, this cloud above her head won't go away. People still recognize her. Many of them will thank her for her stand. A lot of them will hate her for her stand. And I have never been in the limelight like she's been in, but I know personally from attacks I've had, some people hate what I say and what I do because I preach the Bible and I never compromise. I can't compromise. I didn't write it. But I expect it to happen. And I know it's going to get worse. I realize that. I'm not ignorant of the fact that we haven't seen anything yet. This is only the beginning. So, Kim, how long do you think before Kim gets vindicated in court?
It'll take a while. As mentioned, not only is, the court system, unless you're filing these injunctions for immediate reprieve, the court system is lagging. It's slowed down because they, close a lot of their doors. So it's hard to know, when the next hearing is. They'll set dates for when our briefs are due, and then they'll follow up with hearings and such. So this ordeal, unfortunately, can go on for a little while longer. And if individuals want to pray for Kim Davis, she certainly needs the strength that she can get right now. I will just say what I am encouraged by is, since her story is back in the limelight, it also encourages other individuals that may want to take the same stand. I'm thinking of individuals like Governor DeSantis, who they'll come after for his strong stand towards parental rights and parental notification when it comes to education. I think of other individuals that have other good bills in their state that they're going to try to push through, other legislatures that want to vindicate the religious convictions when it comes to natural marriage. Hopefully, if Kim Davis' story means anything, it'll continue to encourage and embolden those that know truth to not be afraid from the attacks from the left and to continue to put forward these good bills.
Well, I'm quite a bit older than you are, Jonathan, but I can remember a time not too many years ago when a case like Kim Davis would have been laughed out of court. It wouldn't even come to court.
Right.
I mean, if the two men would come in and won a marriage license, they would have been arrested.
Right.
I can remember that. And rightfully so, they should be arrested. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And it's
So for those of us that don't remember that history and may just dismiss that as being archaic time or weren't alive during that history, the reason why that's so important is because we valued marriage. Every
That's right.
state in the Union had a not just a right to marriage between a man and a woman, but they criminalized sodomy. They criminalized even divorce. They criminalized adultery. You weren't allowed to participate in any acts sexually outside of your marriage bed because they valued family. They realized it was the bedrock of all society. And yeah, they'd be laughed out of court because they were a threat to the very basic fabric of society. And that's not in too far distant history, right?
No.
The Lawrence v. Texas case had to reverse what was strong laws against sodomy in the state of Texas. These laws were on the books because they protected society, they protected the family. So I think it's a very good point that you're bringing that up. Society has gone so backwards, and it's just been in a matter of generations.
Well, it's fulfilling Isaiah, I might as well make five things, chapter 5, verse 20. They call evil good and good evil. And that's what's happened. We've flip-flopped. And the saddest part is the churches as a whole are pretty silent on the issue. I've always wanted to speak to Kim Davis, having a program. I never could get in touch with her for some reason, but I'd love to have her come on and share her story if she's allowed to do that, because I like the people to hear from her voice, from this grandma, and her voice, in her own words, what has happened to her and why she's been persecuted for the fact that she knows that there are moral issues that cannot be denied. And it's right. unnatural. It's not only an abomination and unholy, it's unnatural. An right. unnatural act for this to be going on.
And if it stayed in the act itself, and of course sin never does, right?
Especially
and it corrupts the body. But if it were, you know, hidden, right? If it didn't come to light, that's one thing. Maybe the circle that it affected would be smaller. But it's now the fact that force of government and Biden's agenda, his statement towards Transgender Visibility Day just a few days ago, him placing a man who's dressed as a woman as a second-in-command of the Health and Human Services, him having open homosexuals as his Department of Transportation lead, it's the force of government now that is pushing this agenda. So it'd be one thing if we didn't know what was going on and we only heard rumors of these sins. But it's when it comes full force and now the force of government is being behind it, pushing it, threatening individuals with not just being arrested for disagreeing with these things, but how they're teaching it in schools, trying to capture the minds of 5, 6, 7, and 8-year-olds and try to steer them towards this direction. That's when this evil is so patent on its face that we can't ignore it. We have to stand up and fight against it.
I totally agree. And that's why the scripture says to purge out all the leaven. Folks, leaven means sin in the Bible. But to purge out all the leaven, if you let any leaven stay, it will pollute the rest of the loaf. You cannot do that. Any leaven that's tolerated will spread. And Ecclesiastes, I think it's 8:11, says that when the king or the ruler punish a criminal quickly, it's in the hearts of a man to become criminals. Whenever the criminals get by with a slight sentence, no sentence at all, folks, that's when society falls apart. And we're seeing this happen right now in this country we call America. And for you and I, Jonathan, we're old enough, we know better. But how about our children and our grandchildren? And I have a great-grandson now. What kind of world am I leaving him? That's what breaks my heart. I mean, that makes me angry. Not for you and I, like I said. We know better. We're okay. We can handle it. But our young'uns don't know better. I mean, the parents may tell them, but then they put them in this public hell holes we call schools, and they teach them the opposite of what the parents are teaching them. I mean, we wonder why the children are confused. I mean, this is what we're seeing in America, and this makes me very angry because all children are precious. I mean, anybody that doesn't love a child, there's something wrong with them mentally and spiritually. I mean, I just don't understand why people are not angry enough to say this is not going to go any further. I mean, weren't we given the duty by God, by the Declaration of Independence and nothing else, but by God's word especially, to stop evil? We're not our job to stop evil by any means necessary before it pollutes the whole world, the whole nation. I thought that was the church's duty.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And
even more so to that, God said, if you lead one of my little ones astray, it's like a millstone is tied around your neck, and you're dumped in the middle of the ocean. There is no survival under God's judgment for an individual that targets children and tries to pervert the mind of a child.
It Amen.
It's so on its face how evil it's parading itself now. We don't have to say much about the these drag queen story hours. I mean, when that was introduced into our libraries, a full-throated offensive display of sexuality in front of children, where they're trying to attack children. Well, that's one thing, because it's the parents bringing their kids to that. But now, when it's in curriculum, right, where students that are in school, to learn basic arithmetic, are now forced to identify or choose an identity before the age of 8, and then a school teacher and administrators concealing that practice from parents, and even concealing that newfound identity of a child and grooming that child towards that direction. And I'm with you there. The public schools are hell holes. There's no other way to say it. They are little institutions and little factories churning out the worst perversions against our children and against our society. So, there ought to be no excuse for parents who find themselves in a situation where they do have to bring their child to a public school. There is no excuse for them to not know what's going on and to be able to push back against that. If COVID taught us anything, it taught us that the school districts and the teachers, certainly the teachers union and the Department of Education, they have no regard for your children's well-being at all. And if you peel behind the curtain and look at what they're actually doing, you'll see that even more so. The only care that they're giving to is this perverted, evil LGBT agenda. And they have your children as captive audience for 6 hours of the day, unfettered access to this perversion.
That's very true. Very true. And, and we've gotten so as American people, we treat not only government officials almost like little gods. We do the same thing with school teachers and so-called officials in the school system. We almost treat them like they're something special, like that they can't make mistakes. Folks, I'm going to tell you this. Don't trust any man. Jeremiah 17:5, do not put your trust in man. Trust God only. Verify what a man says. And if he's a man of honor, then respect him and listen to what he says. But weigh his words against the truth of God always. Do not take anyone's word for what's morally right. You look for yourself in the scripture, because the Bible will give you a clear answer. But we're seeing today, like I said, brother, we're seeing so much confusion that's been drummed even into the parents today. Most parents in their 30s and 40s, really are ignorant of the truth of God's word too, because most of them have never been to church. If they do go to church, you just say it's some kind of liberal church to go to, where they don't teach anything as far as moral absolutes any longer. That's what I'm seeing. It's breaking my heart again on that, because we send our children there to Sunday school or Sabbath school to learn about Christ, and that they teach them liberal teaching about Christ and how he was such a loving man. He never condemned homosexuals. We're seeing this being taught, and that this is destroying our nation.
I think you're absolutely right. The source of the infection is our own infection, right? It's within us. It's within the body of Christ that these infections started coming up. Liberal theology, theology that doesn't preach sin, that doesn't show the need for an atonement, the need for a Christ to take on our sin. The reason that he died was because of this very evil. But if you're not teaching that, and as you say, you're teaching, a loving God that only wants our flourishing, that only wants us to drive nice cars and live in big houses and to have, Sunday afternoon brunch. If that's the God that we're dealing with, then of course all these things and behaviors are acceptable. And that starts with us. No outside entity is going to correct the bad direction that the churches have gone. And I say churches, not as the true body of Christ, because thankfully, Pastor Butches, you do look across the country, you do see these Bible-believing churches. And I always tell folks, if you want to know what a good church is, it's not always the case, but see if they have Bible in their name. Look at the yellow books, and through the yellow book, look for churches. Don't look for these creative, posh names. Look for someone that has Bible in the name of the church. That's a good place to start. And more often than not, you'll find preachers that are faithful to the Word of God, that aren't afraid, that aren't lining their pockets and tickling ears, but are really faithfully preaching God's Word. Unfortunately, it's not completely across the board in some of these denominations that
are on TV and get all the playtime and airtime and folks are contributing to, they're the ones that are perverting and are dissuading individuals from what is absolutely true. But as mentioned, it's the church. It's our own infection. It's something that we have to face and deal with. What I'm also ultimately confident in is Christ's commitment to build his church. He didn't leave it up to anything else or anyone else. He says, I'll build my church. And these gates of hell, although they're perilous against the world's greatest army, although they may seem strong against an individual, these gates of hell will never go up and never be able to contend with my church. That's the confidence that I have.
Amen. Amen. Well, we know that the true church will stand right through to the end. That's a fact. What right now, how many, just rough, how many cases do y'all think you handle one time?
So our inbox, of course, with this COVID thing, our inbox exploded. There are about 30,000 individuals in our inbox. We onboarded a number of affiliate attorneys, so about 100 or so affiliate attorneys are working across the country, just helping us get through the day-to-day work of dealing with individuals that are being fired because of their vaccination status. Actively, there are cases that are still ongoing with church reopening. So in Maine, you know, we're still actively fighting in order to get the Supreme Court to consider that case out of Maine. There's, you know, cases out of Kentucky. Of course, the Ken Davis case, cases in New York, Illinois. The big case that we're currently fighting now is the one on behalf of military members that are being kicked out of the military because of the vaccine status. That's out of Florida. So we have, you know, cases in several circuits all across the country, tens of thousands of individuals that are, you know, relying on us to continue to do the job that God has appointed us to do. And, of course, our hope is that the millions of Americans all across this country are benefited from what ought to be simple but what needs to be defended, which is these rights of religious liberty. So we're in the fight. 9 p.m. isn't, you know, that this is not a late night for us, as it were. Our attorneys work through the weekend. They work all night just to make sure that these values aren't eradicated while no one's paying attention. So we're up and we're in the fight.
So what you're saying is your attorneys are dedicated enough that they'll even miss a night's sleep if they have to.
It's encouraging. It's really encouraging. I think it's a testament to you know, the leadership, Matt and Anita Staver, who you know, but also all the senior counsels and the individuals that are in the litigation team. These guys don't say no, and they won't stop. The convictions of the men and women that I work with in the firm are the most encouraging. And then there's the staff, right? These are the individuals that are attending to the phone calls. And I know this is being recorded. Hopefully at some point they can hear this. I'm in a unique position in that I don't see my colleagues every day. I work sort of isolated in Washington, D.C., away from where all the main action is in Orlando. But our staff, our factory, as it was, works so hard. They're so dedicated. They're the ones hearing the phone calls, working through with individuals, emailing, planning, programming, messaging. The team that God has placed around everyone at Liberty Counsel to get this work done is so inspiring, and it's the fuel that God really has given us to be able to get this work done. And we're motivated by Him, we're motivated by the faith that we have in Him, and encouraged by our supporters, the people that listen to this and feel led to help support us through resources. I think this is what the body of Christ looks like when it comes to defending His truth.
Amen. Well, now, it's very tell the folks again how they can contact you. A lot of people do not have computers, believe it or not, Jonathan. They don't like computers. I don't blame them. If they want to contact you with a phone call or something, how can they do that?
So the phone number is 407-875-1776. It's 407-875-1776. And as mentioned, one of our incredible telephone specialists will be able to talk to them, pray with them even, whatever it is. We're a ministry first. God has us in this calling. So 407-875-1776 is the best way to reach out to us and have us work with you, whatever the situation is.
So they can call that number if they need help, legal counsel or something, some advice. You're glad to talk to them.
Yeah, absolutely. So legal advice, our telephone specialists will, you know, take down their name, work through their legal issue. Sometimes some of these legal issues can be, you know, dealt with one phone call, and we're trained. Our legal minds are able to, you know, provide an answer almost immediately. Some of these things that do take a little time, we're able to take that case as well. And going on our website and calling that number is oftentimes the first place that many people go to in terms of solace. We've had so many encouraging testimonies over these past years of, you know, lives that are being helped, lives that are being saved in terms of the fight that we're having against abortion. So much help is being done through this ministry, and it truly is the honor of a lifetime to be able to work for Liberty Counsel.
All right. Jonathan, we're about out of time. And folks, before we forget, tomorrow night our guest is going to be Dr. Rodrigo Rodriguez from BioCare Hospital. Any health questions you may have about yourself, your family, or a friend, tomorrow night it's a chance to call and ask questions. Dr. Rodrigo Rodriguez will be doing us tomorrow night. Don't forget that. Now, one more quick question, Jonathan. You've been doing this how many years now?
So I've been a lawyer for 8 years.
With Liberty Counsel, how long?
6.5 years. So I did the same sort of work for a smaller firm in Massachusetts right out of law school. And then 1.5 years into that, I got the call to come out to D.C. So I've been here 6.5 years out of the 8 years that I've been a lawyer.
And you haven't got bored one time, have you?
It keeps coming. There have been moments. The fight's always there, but there have been great moments. I do credit a Trump administration that really solicited the help of Christian attorneys and Christian law firms. So there were 4 years of plenty, as it were, where we did make some inroads reestablishing some of these fundamental freedoms. Of course, when the administration changed, much of that has turned around, and they're still attacking a lot of the gains that we've had. So there's never been a bored moment. The terrain changes in terms of it being favorable or unfavorable, but the fight is the same, and so we'll continue at it.
Amen. Well, Jonathan, down the last minute, I want to say thank you so much for what you're doing and the whole staff. You tell your boss and everybody else we said hello, and we appreciate them, okay?
Absolutely. They'll be happy to hear your encouragement. Thank you, Pastor Butch.
Well, you tell them that, and you tell your daddy, give me a call sometime. I love to talk to him.
I'll do that for sure.
All right, my brother. I'll talk to you soon. Tell you pretty half we said hello.
Yes, sir.
And God bless, Jonathan. God bless you, my friend. Folks, I don't want to say, the man told like it is. He's taking a stand for many, many people, and they're making a difference. I don't know where the phone calls were tonight, but that's okay. I'm sure you were listening. I pray you'll help these folks. I do all I can. I wish I could do more. They're well worthy of what we can do to help them pay their bills and keep this thing going. If it weren't for them, folks, a lot of people would probably be in jail right now. We would have lost a lot more liberties than we already have. We've got to stand with them best we can. That's all we can do. Don't miss tomorrow night with Dr. Rodrigo Rodriguez. So y'all have a great night tonight, and I'll see you tomorrow. Good night.
Pick up your sword and shield. Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill. This is war. Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC talkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.